You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
Woo. I have learned to give y'all a second there in case there's any bits that follow the conversation. After 286 episodes, I finally did it once.
You finally learned, and we didn't do anything.
I know.
just an awkward woo-woo to fill the silence.
Well, we are excited to have Kat and JJ here tonight, and we are really excited to have Brenda. Brenda's a fan of the show, and she had requested to come on, said she had some spooky stories to share with us, so we can't wait to hear all about them. Brenda, thank you so much for coming on the Real Hauntings podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
So before we jump in, as you know, we want to find out where you fall on the Believo-meter. 0, you absolutely don't believe in ghosts, and 10, ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I would have to say an 8. Although when I first started listening to the Real Hauntings podcast, it was maybe a 7, but...
Wow, we moved the needle.
Ooh.
You did. You moved it right up to an 8. I like to keep a little skepticism in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to be absolute on everything.
It was a gently nudge. We gently nudged you towards a higher number.
Yes.
I feel like that kind of fits our vibe of the show too. Like, we're all about gentle nudges. You know, we're not trying to push anybody into the shallow end or the deep end. Well, cool. And how did you find out about the podcast?
I was just one day searching through the podcast app looking for anything that was paranormal. And I stumbled upon you guys, and I liked your energy, your banter, and you guys are fun. Not too scary. And I love that you have real people on who share their stories.
It connects us to people all over the world, just having these everyday experiences that you don't really hear when you're out and about, right? No one like stops you being like, oh my gosh, this thing happened to me. Or you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
I'd be like, who are you? Well, Brenda, that's really cool that you were able to connect with our podcast. I mean, I feel like those are all the things that we strive for and hope that people connect with. So speaking of that, so you had, I don't know why I said that as a transition. It didn't have anything to do with what I'm about to ask you, but where did the paranormal begin with you? What's like your origin story with the paranormal?
First off, being brought up Catholic, you're kind of trained to believe in it. Spooky things started happening in like my adolescent years.
Is there like an official Catholic position or dogma on like the supernatural? Because I know there are exorcists.
I feel like the Catholic religion only wants you to pray to God.
But is it stance? Does it kind of fall in line with what we've heard as any ghost you see is a demon? Is that kind of what you were brought up? Or was there wiggle room for Nana to come back and see you too without it being a demon?
You know, I remember when I was young and I would tell my dad, well, what if it was grandma, you know? And he'd be like, it could be a demon tricking you to make you think it's grandma.
See, there you go. It's always the demon grandma. She just came back and said, I like to bake cookies for you. Yeah, clearly a demon trick to, you know, raise your sugar content.
Classic demon trick. Yeah.
I know these experiences started for you kind of young. So why don't you tell us about your first one?
So I was maybe 14 or 15, and my friend had an Ouija board, and we would play at her house, but nothing ever happened. And I was so intrigued and fascinated by this idea of contacting spirits, you know, dead grandmas and things. And I asked her if I could borrow it. She let me borrow it. I borrowed it for a couple of weeks, and I had another friend who used to get off the bus with me, and she would hang out with me until her mom would get out after work and pick her up. So we'd play the Ouija board. And this friend, it's important to know her backstory. She claimed always that her house is haunted and like stuff would happen in broad daylight. And she was a latchkey kid, so she was always home alone. Mm-hmm. Stories like there was a nightlight on a dining room table. The dining room table is on a carpeted floor, and the nightlight just flies off the table and shatters onto the rug. You know, these are exciting things that she would tell me. You know, I was intrigued by the stories, but I wasn't really convinced. And she also said that this thing would follow her to school and do like her locker combination for her. Wow. And one time she was walking down the steps in school and almost fell, but something pushed her back up. Now, these are her stories that she would tell me. I wanted to believe her. I said, well, let's contact this thing that's bothering you, this ghost or whatever it is. And she was for it initially, but then when we brought the Ouija board home after school, she was afraid to. But she was open to seeing what was out there. We would try to see what was going on. A little background story too. So 30 years ago, 1993, and I don't know if you guys remember, but the big story in the media was Lorena Bobbitt cutting her husband's manhood off.
Yep.
And me and my friends were young adolescents, not very mature. We would see, is there anyone here? Nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. And then suddenly, well, not suddenly, after a while, it would slowly push the yes. And we would ask all sorts of questions like, are you boy? Are you girl? But it felt like nothing was happening. So we would ask questions like, oh, did you die because your mom cut your penis off?
And it gave an emphatic yes. And you're just like, oh, shit.
But it seemed to get angry when we asked silly questions like that. Mm. It went to the letters. And I don't like spelling it out, but I'm going to, because today I trust my spirit guides. But back then it was very frightening. It would go from N-M-O-M. That's why I asked, did your mom? Yeah. Mom. N-M-O-M. And it would go faster. But of course, Fawn and I would look at each other and think that the other one was doing it. But then we'd be like, okay, that's enough. And we'd stop. But we would have these pretty low-key, boring little Ouija board episodes a couple times a week. And then one day, I don't know, we just kind of got bored of it. And then I had another friend come over and play with me, the Ouija board. But I had given that board back to the friend that I borrowed it from. And so my friend Carrie came over and I was telling her these stories. And she's like, well, let's play. I'm like, I don't have one anymore. And she's like, well, let's make one. So we made one using, like, I don't know if you guys remember cassettes, right? You're young enough to remember tape cassettes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I would use that as a planchette. And it took a Sharpie marker. You know, like, remember old dining room tables had that centerpiece?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we took that centerpiece and we made the board out of that. I used a Sharpie for like yes and no or something. And then it was Carrie's great idea to, we should write the alphabet in blood. All right.
Why?
So we did. We pricked our fingers.
Was this like a table centerpiece that your family was using, like, actively? Like, were they mad that, like, you did?
No, I actually used it to do my homework in my room.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, you set it on your lap.
You didn't take the family dining room table and, like, smear the alphabet in blood on it. Okay.
It would move in circles real fast, and I would think that Carrie's doing it. Carrie would think I was doing it. But when I saw Carrie get a little shook, and then she suggested that we close it out. And she's like, you got to remember to say goodbye. Because if you don't, they'll feed off your energy. They'll stick around. I was like, what? I didn't even know that was a rule for the Ouija board, because Fawn and I had never done that. That scared the crap out of me. So that, you know, enhanced the fear, the obsessive thinking. Mm-hmm. So we closed it out. And I put the board in the closet and she went home and everything was fine. Had dinner with my family, did my homework, went to bed. So I had this old timey dresser with a mirror and I had it on the side of the wall. So there's nothing behind the wall. It's just pushed up against the side. And I had like all these bottles laid up in front of it, like, you know, hairspray, body wash, whatever. And I went to bed and I swear to God, yes, it was at 3 a.m. And I heard a big bang and my sister opens up the door. She turns on the light and she looks down and she just gasps. She's like, come on, get up. You can sleep in my room tonight. And I'm climbing down from my bunk bed and I see the mirror. If it were to fall, I mean, I'm not a physics expert, but if it were to fall, given the amount of space and the weight of it, I would think that it would fall face down, but it fell face up and all the bottles on the dresser were undisturbed. They did not move.
Oh,
that is really weird.
Is that why your sister was like, come with me, because of that specific?
She just felt so creeped out. Yeah.
Because of that. Okay. Wow. It wasn't just because it fell. It was because it fell in that certain way. That's what creeped her out.
Probably both.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, face up and none of the bottles were disturbed.
No, as a woman, that those bottles fall even when you barely touch them.
Exactly. You look at them wrong, they fall.
Yeah.
That's yes. Great.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
So that was the experience I had at my own house. And then going back to Fawn, to her house, had a sleepover. You know, we were kind of fading out of the the Ouija board thing, and like life was getting busy, like prom and first jobs and stuff. I had gotten a job, but I didn't have to work that one Friday night. So I went over to her house and I slept over. You know, she would always tell me that she hears these booms, and I'd always wonder about these booms that she talks of. But so I had dinner with her family. Everything seemed pretty fine, but everybody went to bed. We snuck out into the family room to watch Arsenio Hall.
Love it.
Are you guys young enough for that?
Oh yeah.
Reference?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we snuck out there to watch Arsenio Hall, and she had cable, so the TV should not have kept scrambling like it did. And then Fawn looked really scared and said, "Oh, you'll hear the booms." And then we did. She's like, "That was it." Like, "Oh, okay." And then she said, if we move over there, we'll hear it behind us. If we move over there, we'll hear it behind us. So we tested and proved this like 3 or 4 times. And I was like, okay, that's enough. I get it. I hear it. She's like, we should just go to sleep. So we went to her room. I had a cot in there. And she likes to make her room as dark as possible so she doesn't see any shadows or anything. So absolutely no light. She falls asleep rather quickly. And then suddenly I hear like the kitchen faucet on, like the water running. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, maybe we woke up Fawn's mom and she's getting a glass of water. And then I heard like glasses, as if ice cubes are in them, clinking and clanking. And they're coming closer and closer to the door. And then they get really loud. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, she's bringing us glasses of water. That's nice. That'd be great to maybe we should let her in. And I tapped our Fawn's leg and I'm like, hey, wake up. I think your mom is at the door. And she's like, that's not my mom. I'm like, what? And then I get really scared because I can still hear the clanking of the glasses. And Fawn is like, ignore it. Just go to sleep. So I try to go to sleep. It's getting louder and I'm getting really scared. And then it wouldn't go away. So I try praying it away because, you know, Catholic. I'm like, oh my God, get rid of this ghost. Make the ghost go away. Please, please, please. I'm getting really worked up and I'm getting like starting to cry because I'm so scared. And eventually the clinking glasses stop and I can take a breath. But that lasts all of like a breath. And then I hear in the other direction, I hear like the screeching noise, like it gets louder and louder. I can't to this day, I can't tell you what it sounds like, just screeching back and forth, kind of screeching right above my head, and it's getting louder and louder and louder. And at this point I'm really shook, and I pull my cot closer to Fawn's bed, and she just keeps telling me, just ignore it, go to sleep. And I'm crying, and she gives me her hand, and I'm holding it so tightly, and I'm crying and I'm praying, and somehow I ended up falling asleep that night. But that was really terrifying to me. I don't ever want to have to go through that again. But like, I don't remember what guest it was that you guys had on. I think it was a recent podcast. Somebody was talking about how if you just put your head under the covers, it goes away. Because that's what happened. You know, I had to like pray and cry and hold Fawn's hand.
Yeah.
But it eventually went away.
You hotbox yourself basically like in your covers. You will not come out for air or breaths because you feel something outside of the blankets. I know that feeling.
Feel like you're being looked at, just waiting to pop your head out the blankets.
That's okay. An interesting use of the phrase.
JJ, yeah. JJ, I don't think we're telepathic, but goddamn,
yeah, like we definitely have.
We're talking to each other without saying anything.
I didn't think of the right word at the right time, so I used hot box.
I mean, if you're really scared, you might like let out some farts while you're hiding under the blanket. Gotcha. I would. So
did it get the point across, everyone?
Yeah,
and some.
Okay,
that was really scary.
That was scary.
It felt like it was so loud. It felt like it was in the room with us or right there at the window that, you know.
If it has this effect on you guys as well, but hearing how her friend reacted at her own house, you know, it seems pretty clear that she had gone through this enough that she had been desensitized to it. Just like we all are if we go through something, you know, something in quotations, depending on the situations, you can kind of get desensitized to it because it was having a huge effect on you, Brenda, which I think is normal for anybody who, you know, the fact that it had so much tension building energy. And then you thought like, oh my God, it's finally gone. And then very horror-esque, it almost sounds like it was just right above your, you know, your face screaming at you.
Did your friend Fawn like kind of debrief you after that happened? Like, did she give you any other like context of, did you all talk about that? Did you find out anything more about like that experience?
Well, I mean, she told me that's why she keeps her room super dark, so she can't see anything.
Yeah.
And she'd been telling me the stories that have been going on for a couple of years. In fact, she even used to talk to my mom about them when I wasn't there.
Wow. Is she still somebody that you're in contact with or no?
No, sadly. Her life didn't turn out that great.
Do you feel like the action of using the Ouija board intensified things in her home, or do you think it was just always that way regardless of the communication through the Ouija board?
I feel like it was always that way for her. I feel I got a little too close to it with the Ouija board. I'm just really grateful to be away from that now. I will never pick one up ever again in my life. I really don't know because she kind of faded away. She went a different path, you know?
Well, Brenda, thank you for sharing that. That was, I know that wasn't easy for you to talk about. Well, we'd love for you to do the outro with us if you're up for it.
Ooh, yeah.
So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm Brenda.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.